Brethren, would you please turn in your Bibles this morning to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. I want to read verses 1 through 5 of chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 5. These verses tell of the call of a man into the service of God. His name is, at this point in the Bible, in Genesis, he's called Abram. But we know him more familiarly, if that's a word. We know him as Abraham. Abram, he's called to come into the service of God. Brethren, as we think of this, and I read to you part of this story of Abram, I want you to recall and know and contemplate that God calls his people into his service. God calls every one of us. He calls us from death unto life. He calls, and that's called the effectual call. The call from death unto life, brethren, it has an effect. An effect. It's effective. It works. And he also calls us, brethren, once he calls us from death unto life, he calls us to serve him, to follow him. Jesus, that we just sung about, tell me the story of Jesus. One of the things Jesus did was he says, we are to take up our cross. If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. That's the call to service, to serve our Lord and Savior. God in the Old Testament records for us here of the call of a man named Abram. I want to preach to you about his call and about his answer to that call, his obedience, his obeying that call. And part of some of the things that he did. Here we go. Chapter 12 of Genesis, verses 1 through 5. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Here they come, into the land of Canaan. God bless the reading of his word, Genesis 12, 1 through 5. I won't pray again, audibly, but I beg God's blessing on this. I'm praying it now, but we won't pause to pray. But you pray, brethren, that God will bless the reading of his word to you and to me, that he'll give me understanding of it and give you understanding of it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. Pray, brethren, that it'll profit us. It's profitable for doctrine, profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. May all of that, may we profit in all of those ways this morning, studying the Word of God. I want to take each verse and just make some comments about each one, and then we'll go just a little further past verse 5 for a couple of points. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, again, this is the man we know as Abraham. This is his name before it was changed. And this is what the Lord said to this man. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now that's brethren, when I was younger and still to a degree now, when I was younger, I was scared that God was going to call me to go all way off somewhere. I wanted to serve him and I knew God called people, but I didn't know where he might send me, and I knew that I had things I wanted to do and places I wanted to go, and I was just Sometimes I would just kind of shut God out, and I wouldn't pray, "Oh Lord, you know, show me what you want me to do," because I was scared of what He might show me. I knew the story of Abraham, and I said, "Oh no, I don't want Lord telling me to leave my family and go off somewhere. He's going to show me where to go." I was just scared, brethren, just scared of that. But I'll tell you what, I've learned this. I haven't learned a lot in my life, but I have learned this. God's got a perfect plan for you and me. His plan is perfect. And whatever He tells you to do, it's going to be all right. Not only is it going to be all right, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. In the New Testament, we're told, Jesus said, no man has left family and farms, and I can't quote it, and I don't even know where it is. No, it's in the New Testament, in the Gospels. Nobody has left things that you leave them, but I'll give you more than you left. I'll bless you. And brethren, I don't know what Abram, he had some things at this point in his life, but I want to tell you, brethren, he had a lot more after he went out where God told him to go and did what God told him to do. God blessed him. He blessed him materially, but better than that, brethren, he blessed him spiritually. He had no children. He was 75 years old. He had no children. And God said, "I'm going to make you a great nation, Abram." And of course, you know that. You know the history on that too. Abram said, "Well, how's that going to be? I don't even have a child now, and I'm old, and my wife's old beyond childbearing." I'm gonna digress if I'm not careful. But I'm just trying to say to you that Abram sowed a little bit, brethren, by obeying God, and he reaped bountifully. There are blessings in obedience, brethren. The Lord had said to Abram, "Get thee out of thy country." Well, he did that, brethren. He did that. I've heard preachers say that in this place where Abram was in Haran, Abram's family was there, his extended family was there, and they did a lot of idol worship in that place. And God, that's why God told Abram to get out of there. I want you to leave there. He says, "Leave your father's house." Well, he didn't. He took a couple of people, though, with him. He didn't have to leave them, every one of them. The Word of God tells us he took Lot, that's his nephew, his brother's son, and he got to take his wife with him. Well, wasn't that a blessing, too? God said, God's not going to tell a happily married man serving him to, "Well, leave your wife." If somebody tells you to leave your wife, brethren, that's the devil talking to you there. God's not going to break up your home. That's Satan. That's the world telling you that. You know what I heard the other day? Heard a preacher. I got to share this with you. I'm digressing, but give me a moment. I have become a great proponent of marriage, more so than I was in my younger days. I told you before, I'll try to go to a wedding now if I'm invited, because used to, I dreaded it. I had other things I wanted to do. I don't want to go get dressed up, shave, and sit in the church house on Saturday. I got things I want to do. But brethren, I go now. I go now because marriage is under attack from Satan. Has been. I've just kind of become more aware of it. Always has been. Because marriage is God's institution, you see. And anything God's made, Satan's going to be against it. And so I go. But I heard this preacher the other day talking about marriage. And he said, some men say they married the wrong woman. And he said, he put it in this context. He talked about Adam and Eve. And how when Adam fell, he sinned. What's happening here? Where are you? And, you know, "Well, I hid because I was naked." God said, "Who told you you were naked?" And so Adam told God, "The woman gave me the fruit, the forbidden fruit, and I ate of it." And this preacher said, you know, he tried to blame it on the woman, but he couldn't very well say, "I married the wrong woman," could he? You get it? Adam couldn't say that, nor men can you say that. And I know you're not going to say that. But anyway, and I don't know how I got it. I was talking about Sarah. Sarah, he got to take Sarah with him, took his wife with him and his nephew. And God said, "I will show you. You leave the land you're in and I will show you where I want you to go." And God did that, brethren. And the promise was in verse 2, "I will make of thee a great nation." This man was childless at this point in time, brother, 75 years old. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Not only am I going to bless you, God says, you're going to be a blessing to other people. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. What a wonderful thing for God to say to a man. In thee, now we have the messianic prophecy, brethren. We just sang, tell me the story of Jesus. Here he is, right here. This is part of the story. Verse 3, the end of it. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. The Messiah is coming from you, Abraham, down the line, but he's coming. And all people in all kindreds, nations, and tongues are going to be blessed in you, Abram. I love verse 4. So Abram departed. Isn't that beautiful? God says, go, and he went. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, his nephew. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. 75. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Do you remember when the children of Israel, that would be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that would be Abraham's son's children. There's Abraham, then there's Isaac, that promised son, and then there's Jacob. And Jacob was named Israel later in his life. You remember when the children of Israel, the descendants of Jacob, descendants of Abraham, came out of Egypt and went into the land of Canaan? Many, many years later, Abraham got there before they got there, you see. Into Canaan they came. So, brethren, the first major point I want to try to make is this. God calls you. He calls me. He calls us from death into life. He's called you from death into life, or you wouldn't be sitting here in the pew this morning. He loved you. Love him because he first loved you. He calls you from death into life, and he calls you into service once he makes you alive spiritually. And he's got to work for you. You're created in Christ Jesus. You're that new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. He makes you new. And he gives you the ability, brethren, to serve him and to work for him, to do good works. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He calls you into his service. I mean, you can read it. You can read it that God will bless if you're obedient. He calls you to serve him. You can read it and you'll be happy if you serve him. You can read that all you want, brethren. But I've learned, I've lived it. I've found out that it's exactly what God says. What he says is true. You just serve me and put me first, God says, and all the rest will be taken care of. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. And I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I think I got that right. I think it's in one of the Psalms. I'm not sure. But there it is. There's that. David lived to see it. I've lived to see it. And I know that you've lived to see it. That if you bless God and serve God, he blesses you in return. Into the land of Canaan they came. Now, those are the first five verses we read. I want to go on just a little further and follow along, brethren, as I read these. And Abram passed. I want to show you something that Abram did as he traveled. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Well, I wonder why Moses, who wrote the Pentateuch, as I understand it, wonder why he added that little sort of a little footnote there at the end of verse 6. And the Canaanite was then in the land. So Abram comes into a land, brethren, where there's more idolaters there. There are people that don't believe in the one true and living God. They've probably got all kinds of different little gods with a little g that they worship. Well, Moses reminds us when Abram arrived, he's in a land that doesn't follow the one true and living God. Majority of the people don't. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Now, here it is. Here's the next point I want to make, brethren. and there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. To me, that's very significant. Abram is following God. He's left his homeland. He's now in a strange land. He's sojourning there. He's in the land of Canaan. It's filled up with infidels, non-believers. And God's speaking to this man as he goes along, probably encouraging him, keep blessing him. It says there, the Lord appeared to him. He's appeared to him now the second time that we've mentioned this morning. But I would guess that God by the Spirit is encouraging him along and along. And so God says, I'm going to give you your seed, this land, your descendants, this land of Canaan. And this is what Abram did. There builded he an altar unto the Lord. Now he made a public, I believe, brethren, he made a public showing of who he was worshiping. He built an altar to God where he could worship God. I guess make sacrifices on it, bow before God at this altar here. Abram did that. When the children of Israel were in the land of Canaan and they'd been disobedient and God allowed the Midianites to come in and take some of their land, there was a man named Gideon who got the angel of God appeared to him and said something like, "Hello, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon said, "How am I a mighty man of valor? I'm hiding so I can thresh out my wheat here, so the Midianites won't come and take it from me." I think it was the Midianites. And one of the things that God told Gideon to do, you know the story of Gideon, you know he had a great army and then God kept reducing it down to 300. You remember that? The lamps and the pitchers and that great victory there. Well, one of the things that God told Gideon to do is he said, tear down the altar to Baal. So there was a public altar to Baal there that the Midianites built, and the children of Israel were worshiping a false god. And Gideon tore it down, and it incensed the people of the community. And they said, "Who tore down this altar here?" You see, Gideon was not afraid to tear it down because God told him to. And God said, "I'm telling you to, I'm going to take care of you." Abram came into this land of unbelievers, and he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So he made it. He was not ashamed, brethren, of who he believed and who he was going to worship. He stopped there. He stopped at this at Shechem near Moreh on the plain of Moreh. Now look at verse 8. So I don't know how it doesn't tell us how long he stayed there, but in verse 8 it says he moved. He moved. He was a herdman, brethren. He had God was blessing him with lots of livestock, and he had to move around a good bit to find grass and pasture for his livestock. He removed from there, from thence, unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. Well, that's important, but the most important is the rest of the verse. Watch this. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Do you begin to see a pattern here in the life of this man? Wherever he goes, brethren, I don't mean to try to be cute here, but he takes God with him. You see, God's everywhere present, nowhere absent. But the man loves God, knows God, and he wants God's presence with him. He builds an altar wherever he pitches his tent, and he worships God there. And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. Here's a little sort of a parenthetical right here. Verse 10, there was a famine in the land. A famine came. Famines come for one reason or another. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And look at now chapter 13, first verse. The famine's over, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, upon the place of the altar, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there, what happened? Abram called on the name of the Lord. You see that pattern there? You see, Abraham, do you see an example for you and for me in the life of this man right here? God called him from death into life. God called him into service. He obeyed, and he began to build altars to God wherever he went. This morning, I think I mentioned this earlier, telling you where I'd been. This morning, I said to those people there that were away from their home churches this morning, they came into that arena, a very unsacred place. There's nothing felt like a church in there, but the people of God began to gather. And Sister Emily sang the hymn, Amazing Grace. And then I began to read from the Word of God. And we had our own altar place there, you see, to worship right there. You can worship anywhere. I'm not telling you don't come to church, not to ever forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But Abraham worshiped, brethren, wherever he was. And he wanted the presence of God with him wherever he was. And he built an altar to God. You can build an altar, and I'm not suggesting you build an altar of wood on your desk at work. If you want to do that, that's great. But brethren, the thing is this, you build an altar wherever you are to worship God. If you're in school, Brother Riley, if you're in elementary school, Sister Katie, if you're in high school, you can worship God wherever you are. If you're a man who works on a job here, if you got a place where you labor, a woman in your house, you can have an altar to God in your house. You see, God's everywhere present and nowhere absent. And if you set aside a place and a time to seek God's presence and to fall before Him and to worship, He'll bless you there. He'll bless you. That's the first point I wanted to make, or one of the main ones. Let me go to Genesis over here and tell you about the end of Abram. Let me see, it's 25, Genesis 25. Verses 7 and 8, this man that we started him out, he was 75 years old when he got the call. I'm going to read to you now about his death. Oh, you study his life. It's a wonderful life because he served God his days. Chapter 25, verse 7, beginning there. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 153 years. A score is 20. So that's 20, 40, 60. 160 plus 15 makes 175 years. He lived and served God. And here's his end. Listen to this. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. He lived a long life, brethren, and he lived a full life. Why? How did he live a full life? Because he built altars to God wherever he was. He put God first. He obeyed God. Have God ever told you to do something and you said, well, I don't really want to do that. I think I'm going to ignore that. I have. I've sometimes not prayed to God because I was scared when in answering my prayer, he'd say, by the way, I want you to do this. I've tried to avoid him, but I've learned in my old age, brethren, the older I get, that just say, oh, Lord, like Paul said, what wouldst thou have me to do? What would you want me to do today, Lord? I don't have to ask him this. Do you want me to read the Bible today, Lord? You think, isn't that silly? You want me to pray today, Lord? You already know the answer to that. But where can I serve you today, Lord? What can I do? Give me opportunities for service. Let me read you something now in closing about Abram from the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, the letter Hebrews, the Hebrew letter. Listen to this. It's talking about people of faith, people that God has made alive. He's quickened them. Here's what it says, part of what it says about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, you hear that? When he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, comma, one word, obeyed. Oh, that's beautiful to me, brethren. Abraham, when he was called to go out, he obeyed, and he went out. I love that. Here's the faith part, brethren, not knowing whither he went. Now, that's That's asking a lot, isn't it? But brethren, God asks a lot. God's given a lot. God's done a lot for you. And he asks a lot. There's a verse that says, to whom much is given, much is what? Required. Yeah. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. That's Canaan. As in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. He dwelled in a tent because he knew he didn't have a permanent home, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And Sarah, the lady he was married to that was beyond childbearing, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Oh, brethren, I just urge you today to on your journey. We're all on a journey. This world is not our home. We're only passing through. On your journey to your job, on your journey to your school, on your journey of vacation, on your journey in your workshop, wherever you are, brethren, keep that altar to God handy and bow down to God in prayer and seek him, seek his way. And he'll bless you, brethren. He'll bless you always. And you'll be a blessing to others. Remember the promise to Abraham? I'm going to bless you and you're going to bless others. And in you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. God is true to his word, brethren. He's true and faithful. He cannot lie. He'll bless you. So serve him and trust him and walk by faith as Abram did. Oh, Father in heaven, bless us. I beg you to build an altar to you wherever we are. Whatever the circumstance, that we'll fall before you, God. Seek your way and your will. And seek your honor and glory and not our own. Oh God, may we remember as an example this story of this great man, Abram. He was great, Lord. You made him great. That's why. You made him great because he blessed you and loved you and honored you and obeyed you. Oh God, may we take a lesson from him. May we love you above all. And when you tell us to go, may we go. When you tell us to stay, may we stay. May we be in step in the center of your will, in step with your word, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. And we thank you for this word, Lord. Please let it lodge in our hearts and may we think about it. Let the Holy Spirit teach us, oh God. And then as we depart, may we put it into practice. May I practice, oh God, what I've preached. In your name I pray. Amen. Brethren, we're going to stand and sing a hymn at this time. If God's called you from death to life and you want to serve him, begin serving him today with the membership here at the church. Come forward and let that request be known. It could be received in any way the gospel authorizes.